Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is a Patriots Monday. We're down here at Gillette Stadium. We are joined, as always, during the noon hour, former Patriots defensive star Rob Ninkovich, brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Rob Ninkovich, along with Falmouth Lumber and your local Anderson window dealers. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. How are
Great.
You?
Good. Everyone's good.
Nice game last night.
Good victory. Playing yes. a good offense. Defense played well. It's always fun.
Is that the best the defense played
yeah.
all year?
Yeah, I think
it was.
I'd say that's a good game, obviously, because you're playing a good offense and the quarterback is so good. I think the secondary played well. I think the front played really well to keep him contained and not really let him get out of the pocket. It was a great game.
He's got to be a frustrating guy to play against because, and I think Roethlisberger is similar in some respects. You think you got him in your sights. You think you got him down on the ground, and away he goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not necessarily seeing the 100% healthy Aaron Rodgers. He got a brace off, but he was still.
Why would he take it off, by the way?
Probably restriction. Yeah. You know, you put something on your knee, it really is annoying. So, I mean,
hasn't hurt Brady's speed to leave it on.
No, that's his front plant leg. Yeah. I think he wants it just for protection. That's like a mind thing because the last time he did it, you know, somebody jumped into his front leg. So you see a lot of quarterbacks put a knee brace on the front leg because that's your plant leg. That's the leg that's stuck in the ground, and if someone falls on you or rolls up into you, that leg's not moving except for your knee. So, you know, I think that they did a great job. You know, the front played well. You'd like to see him not give up so many yards on the ground. But at the end of the day, that turnover that happened, that was kind of like the game-changing turnover, the one turnover that if they would have scored in that series, I think, you know, the Patriots' offense for a little bit was on their heels. They really couldn't get anything going. That, you know, four down territory on the one, they didn't score there. That's kind of like, okay, like they didn't score. Momentum, you could kind of feel the momentum change, and then that fumble happened. Then the Pats go score. They, you know, go deep into the playbook there and get a couple trick plays going to keep the momentum. So it was fun. It was a fun game.
Because the defense, it seems like they have the right pieces to be a solid defense, but yet we've seen some games earlier in the year where they give up a ton of points. You know, not just the yards, which has sort of been a thing for even years here with the Patriots. Give up yards, but when you need to, you get the stop, you get the turnover or whatever. So earlier in the year when they were giving up a bunch of points, what do you think has changed? Like, was it just a one-off against the Packers, or is there reason to think that they can keep this going?
Well, I mean, you look at the Bears game, you know, maybe they just didn't play well on the road. You know, that's one thing that you can look at. Then you go to the Bills game, maybe it boosts their confidence because they're playing against such a terrible team. Then they have that confidence to go into playing the Packers. But if you also look at, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think that you see a little bit more frustration in him than you've ever seen as far as like pointing to receivers and after he's thrown the ball, like yelling at him, like, you got to come back or you got to go that way.
Yeah, it doesn't look right.
I don't think I've ever seen Tom do that. Maybe a couple times, but like as far as like after a play, looking at the guy and
you go back
saying,
like, Joey Galloway,
like, you got to go this way or you should have went that way or the route's there, you know, sit. It's just different things that you see out of him. And, you know, you got to question their play calling. You know, it's third and one, and you keep the ball with the quarterback who just has a knee issue and doesn't have a brace on, and he's not a running quarterback.
No.
I mean, he can scramble and move in the pocket, but he's not going to run. He's not going to run on third and one and get a first down.
No, and Jones is averaging over 5 yards
a carry. 5 yards
a carry. Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's like you scratch your head on, okay, if it's third and two, third and three, you're averaging 5 yards a carry, run the ball.
Right.
So, you know, they want to put the hand in the quarterback, the fate of the football team in the quarterback's hands, which is, that's natural.
With him,
you know, when you have
a
guy like that. So, I just think that at the end of the day, the coaching staff's, for the Patriots are superior. The quarterback, obviously, Tom is the best, and you can kind of see why. And you know, you look at the play calling, you look at a little bit of the. I would say that the Patriots also did the same thing down in the red zone that Green Bay did. Green Bay had a hard time scoring. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to roll them out and you know, throw a dart into the end zone to score. So, again, you got to give the defensive side of the ball the credit because they made the stops. You know, I think the secondary played well again, and you know, I think both McCourty's played well.
Yeah.
So it's trending in the right direction at this point in the year is when you want it to go the right way. So traveling to Tennessee, going against a mobile quarterback, I wouldn't necessarily say that Tennessee has a great shot to beat the Patriots, but they do have a head coach that's been here for a long time, knows the things that probably affect Tom and get under his skin a little bit. So, you know, and traveling, that's always difficult playing on the road. So, you know, I anticipate them winning that game as well. It's all going to come down to, you know, the Patriots are going to win the division. You know they're going to be in the playoffs. Now, would I want to see Kansas City home or away?
Home. Yeah, obvious, yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be the biggest challenge. Those two teams, the Steelers and the Chiefs, are going to be the two teams that stand in your way.
Opening drive last night for the Patriots, as Collinsworth pointed out, they go no huddle, you know, from time to time anyway. Mm-hmm. But they were like in hurry up no huddle. They were. It was the speed. If you're a defensive player playing against that, how quickly do you get gas trying to keep up with that?
You get gas, but then the linemen get gas too. So that's why they can't do it the full game, because if you want your offensive linemen who are 300-plus pounds to not be completely gassed, you got to get out of that no huddle, you know. So I never really disliked the no huddle, because if they're going fast, that means that they're getting tired and they're going to be just as tired as me. And hopefully they have 50, 60, 70 pounds on me, so they'll be more tired than me.
Right.
So I never had an issue with it. If you're on defense, the key is just knowing your assignments, and when they go into that NASCAR no huddle, what are the calls? Give me the call. Okay, let's play the call. And I think you saw the pack kind of do some – hurry up to where the Patriots got caught twice with 12 guys, substitution error, then throw the ball up. Luckily, it didn't hurt them, you know, with a big play. But you know, they're known to have, if they see a flag, throw the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Patriots, you really don't see that too often, them getting caught in a substitution error.
How have they been able to? It seems like with very few exceptions, an offensive lineman can get hurt, not play, and then it's just the next guy up. So Shaq Mason is one of the better guards mm-hmm. in the league. He doesn't play, and that was not even really a story at all. Like, they could run the ball if they wanted to. Tom had time to throw the ball. It was like that never even popped up. I don't know how they do it. I mean, obviously Dante Scarnecchi gets a ton of credit, and he should, but it's pretty remarkable where at that position in particular, the next man up thing is always proven out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just goes to show you the type of coaching and players that the Patriots bring in. They bring in guys that are good football players, and you see other places where if the backup comes in, it was like a
9-sack game or something. It's insane.
Yeah. So, you know, they got two great tackles on the outside. So Cannon's back, that helps. You have a good center. David Andrews is really good. Won the Academy Award for acting.
Oh my God! Is that the worst? Is that the lamest?
That's the lamest
guy you've
ejection.
Ever seen get thrown out.
That's the lamest ejection I've ever seen.
How many times did you smack a guy in the face?
I've never smacked anyone in the face.
How many times kind of dumb?
In the
I
face?
Mean,
I've been punched in the face, but that's just through offensive linemen wanting to take my head off. But
that was
terrible.
That was
like when you watch that, like as a ref. I mean, I know they're flipping through the pages of the rule book. Like, oh, let's see here. Eject him.
Yeah.
But that's like, come on.
That was awful.
It wasn't a closed fist. It wasn't like that violent. I mean, if you would have like took his helmet off and like punched him and like wrestled him to the ground.
But that was bad.
That was like a retaliation from, because you saw David. Like, he's going to give you a couple extra little jabs.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, grab you here, but jab you up into your chin, and nobody sees that.
Right.
So the second guy always gets caught, but I think that's.
Throw him out was embarrassing.
That's like a very, like, I don't know, soft, like the NFL soft. Everyone's saying they're getting soft. That's
it's a good example
of how soft it's becoming.
I got to ask you, because we had a disagreement earlier in the show, but I'm interested in a player's perspective. Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints does the whole cell phone celebration, gets a 15-yard penalty. It was obvious Sean Payton was not pleased.
Oh, yeah.
If you were a teammate of Michael Thomas, would you be upset with him?
Depends on the outcome of the kickoff. if he runs it back for a touchdown and we lose, I'm going to be really angry.
I think he ran it back to like the 40, might have been something like that. So, they didn't run it back. They didn't score again.
They didn't
after.
Score,
the didn't
but
score
it's still,
again.
I mean, you, but they got it's some so stupid. It's so silly. I mean, come on. Like, honestly, it's, but that's the attention thing. Like, look at me. I'm,
now,
Joe,
you were
I'm Joe Horn. Like, yeah, come on. He did that.
It was
I guess
hilarious.
It's a,
come on. Admit it was hilarious.
That's not that hilarious. Funny to me.
Now, you were on the team when.
That's like the kid in class, the kid in class that's extra loud and extra yeah. annoying because he loves the attention.
Well,
that's
sometimes they're
is.
Funny. If they have good material, sometimes yeah. they're funny.
I always just say, you're corny. Get out of here.
Well, maybe they are corny. You were on the team, I believe. Didn't Logan Ryan pick off a pass and then grab his junk going in the end zone?
Yeah.
And then he got flagged. Did you guys say
I had a great him? Inside move on that and hit the quarterback.
And it wouldn't happen without you. But I'm saying, did you guys say anything to him? Like, are you kidding me? Or are you just like, that was funny? Or what
I didn't even
say?
Realize that happened until like the next day. And then everyone was making a big deal out of it. And I was like, what'd he do? And then I watched it and I was like, oh, he did the Marshawn Lynch.
That was great. I loved it. But I can't imagine Bill was thrilled.
Well,
because
I said Sean Payton was obviously no.
Oh, Sean Payton was mad.
This
Sean
coach
Payton,
down the hall here would not be happy.
He would not love
no,
it.
No, he would never play again. So, you know, I had a when my first year in New Orleans, I had a personal foul, I didn't hear the whistle, and I threw the back running back, so it was a 15-yard penalty, and it was in the preseason against the Cowboys. I think it was a Jones brother, one of the running backs.
Julius Jones.
Like, yeah. So I come off the field, and there's a video of him actually just killing me. You think you're worth 15 yards? You think you're worth it? And I'm like. And I said, no.
I didn't hear the whistle.
What did you want me to say? Yeah. Like, I wanted to say, I didn't hear the effing whistle, coach.
Right.
But then I would
probably
have been,
not a good plan.
Then I would have been cut. Yeah. Sometimes I have a little issue, but with
no.
authority.
Come on.
A little bit. Ask BD, Brendan Daly. He'd be like, does Ninkovich ever aggravate you with not agreeing? And he'd probably say, that.
Yeah, he's like, yes. I'm so glad he's gone.
You know, he'd say, he's soft as a jelly donut. I used to say, you're mentally soft. I'm like, yeah, I played 11 years. I'm soft. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of guys yeah. do that.
See, I hated it just because it was all about him. Like the dance routines they're doing in the end zone, Seattle does that. That's fine. You're your teammates. Have a celebration. Have fun. The minute you not only make it about you, but then cost your team 15 yards,
yeah,
the fact
ridiculous.
That you didn't lose, oh, good. Congratulations, but
yeah,
I mean, he also had the 70-yard touchdown to set it up too. Yeah. You know, he's
I just think at the end of the day, a lot of that stuff, like I said before, it's the guys that want to have the eyes on them, the attention. They feel like it's gonna it's just I laugh about it because I look at it and I'm like, man, that's really silly of you to do that. But hopefully, he learns his lesson. Probably not because
I don't think so.
You know, I'm sure he hasn't learned a lesson on it unless. He wasn't playing, and they're like, okay, because of that, we're not going to play for a quarter. And
but that's the thing with 52 other teammates, like you're always going to have every team you've been on. There's a few guys that are a little bit more selfish than others. You're just going to find the balance, right, to everybody to work together. But you're always going to have guys like that.
Yeah, you are. And you know, you as a football player, you hope that you don't have a lot of them because then you have the Jacksonvilles.
Right.
The
yeah. There's probably a number. I don't
then
know what
you have
it
the
is.
The Seattle's when yeah. everyone's egos get too big and they all right. think that they're. Worth $100 million, and you know, just becomes a big debacle.
It takes over.
And, I know we try not to pass up opportunities to get you to do your Bill Belichick imitation, but what would he be saying to Michael Thomas as he came to the sidelines? The cleaned up version.
He wouldn't be just mellow tone. He'd be like, Jesus, yeah. Get out of here. Like, what are you doing? This is the thing. I don't think Bill would ever have to deal with that.
That's a good point.
Bill would never have to deal with that because guess what? Nobody would do that.
It's pretty clear that you shouldn't plant cell phones when you're playing for the Patriots.
Nobody would do that. And when I say that, we all know the consequences to doing that. And if you're selfish like that, Patterson had a great game. After the game, they interviewed him. He's like, playmaker making plays. You know, I'm a playmaker. I'm sure Bill's in. Hey, playmaker, how you doing?
is that what he's doing?
Why don't you cool it there, playmaker?
Say, playmaker, why don't you do it next week, too?
So he's probably going to get no carries next week. Like Jonas Gray style.
Go on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
See you later.
Show up late. Never play again.
Never see you again.
Do you like seeing Cordarrelle Patterson running the football?
I like it. I mean, in a perfect world, you want them to return the ball and you still want them to be involved in the offense. In the pregame show, I said they need to run the ball. And Mayo was like, well, they, you know, we got a running back or the receiver back there. I said, well, look, you're not going to gain yards if the guys in front of you aren't blocking. Tell them, okay, this is an A-gap run. Hit the A-gap like you would a kickoff return. Like, run fast, hit the hole hard, and just read your blocks and run. And I think he did a great job reading his blocks. You saw him running hard. You know, my only critique would be when you're not as short and you're a big guy, like,
yeah, it looks
pad
weird,
level
doesn't
down,
it?
Pad level.
Yeah,
every time I'd be like, just don't get hit on the ball. Don't get a helmet on the ball because that's when you fumble.
Even some of the taller running backs that you've seen, they run differently and they're built differently. Their
pads,
legs are thicker.
You run pads over toes. So if your shoulder pads are over your toes, it protects the ball naturally because you're like have a natural hip bend. When you see a lot of guys as they get older, they run upright because they don't have the bend anymore.
Yeah.
So like if you saw Steven Jackson his last year, like he was straight up and down.
It's slow.
Just and that's when you get hit on the knees.
Yeah, right.
That's when you've lost that protection of your knees and the ball, everything. So you watch James run. He's so low, his pads are over his toes every time he touches the ball. He's running at a forward angle. If somebody hits him, he just kind of bounces off of him. So, you know, he's done a great job for them, what they've asked him to do. He is a playmaker, so I'll give him that.
I guess so.
You can call him that. He shouldn't call himself that.
Yeah, that's like, you know, it's like Ninko. Ninko going to ball today. Ninko out there balling, baby.
Like, you're Ninko.
Ninko.
Like, hold on
so third person, Ninko?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, wait a
like Joey Porter used to call himself Peasy.
Oh, God.
Like, yo, I'm Peasy. Peasy take two shots of yak to the head, and I'm out there balling. I'm like, what? Really?
You're talking about yourself, right?
Took two shots. You take two shots of alcohol before you played? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, whatever works.
Yeah.
I suppose.
He made a lot of money.
Do you think that Patterson, if they need him to, can this keep up or like eventually?
I think eventually. My only fear is a fumble, turnover.
And I keep waiting for that, too, and he's been able to hold
on
to it.
He runs violently.
He runs hard.
I mean, he does
run hard.
He is hitting the line hard.
But I just can't imagine he's usually...
And I would rather that than a dancer. Yeah. I would rather him running the ball than McCoy. And I know that sounds insane, but McCoy stops his feet, backtracks, runs to the...
Different.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
And he's holding the ball.
With his palm, like, okay, you're a turnover waiting to happen.
Wait
like.
For it.
So I
but
like the way he runs
Patterson,
the ball.
My question with him, I guess, would be, is he used to getting hit so many times? Like, obviously, right? Like, that's a different thing that his body's not
my
used
fear,
to.
My fear, again, would just be, like, a turnover because when you're getting hit and then you're turning and getting hit again and then you're turning and get a headache, you can have great ball security, but if you're not doing it every day, your career, like, you know how to protect the football. You know when to put it away. Like, sometimes when you're running – and a guy's wrapping you up, and you're still fighting for extra yards, that's when you get stripped. That's when you get the ball knocked off you, you know. The defender is taught. When one guy's holding them, the next guy gets the ball.
Which is what Lawrence Guy did when he punched the ball out.
Yeah, that's huge.
I think that was he was going to wrap him up. That was like, I'm going
to hit the ball.
Him. Yeah, it was like right place, good hand placement. I don't think he was actually going to punch the ball. I think he was going to wrap him up, and it was like
just
a good mid-body wrap. And
it just was like,
and his big bear paw just hit the ball, and it was perfect timing. Like, if the running back's legs weren't taken out from under him, he wouldn't have been horizontal.
That far down.
Yeah, exactly. And he just kind of smeared him, and the ball popped out.
How are you feeling about Gronk right now?
You know, I think that he's probably dealing with some things. It's unfortunate because, you know, I mean, the guy's so good.
Yeah.
And you hate to see somebody having to deal with anything as far as injuries are concerned. So I'm sure he had something going on and then took a little time off and, all right, I'll play. Played the Bills game, probably had a little setback in how he felt.
I wouldn't play him next Sunday either. You got the bye week after that.
I wouldn't play him. So give him a couple weeks. Give him as much time as he wants. At this point, too, I mean, you need him not – in these games, you don't need him.
Yeah,
for,
you're all set. You're,
the
you really
division
are.
Is good. Like, you don't need him for the Tennessee Titans game. You probably won't need him for a Jets game. You won't need him for a Miami game. Like, just
certainly not for another
Buffalo
game.
I mean,
keep him healthy. Yeah. Get him in practicing every day, and then in the playoffs when you need that double coverage in the red zone, run your routes. Hopefully, guys still have to respect the fact that he's out there, which they will because he's so big.
I wonder how much it's affecting him, though, because he's got a lot of money riding on incentives, which he's seeing a match lit to here.
Yeah, I mean, those are probably all gone. But yeah,
they probably are at this point.
Yeah, he's on the pace
gone.
Anyway.
Yeah, they're gone.
Then, yeah, after that game.
For yeah, him. So you can't think about it like that. You know, I've lost plenty of money playing. You know, my first year I had a $350,000 salary, and I blew my knee out, and then I got half because I was a split, which I think is the dumbest thing in the world. You'll split
nice
a guy's,
players association. You'll split, you have yeah.
You'll,
awful.
You'll split a guy's contract that's making league minimum as a rookie, but then you can have a guy that's making $6 million and goes on IR and makes $6 million.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So you'll save $150,000.
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. No. So that one hurt.
Why were you guys not strong enough to stand up? Not. During the time that you were there, I don't know.
You but, specifically. Why weren't you?
Not you
I have no power.
Forever, the NFL Players Association has just been steamrolled.
Because the owners understand how to run their business, and they know that the Players Association at some point have to bend, and they can't.
Because they just can't
afford
to hold out.
The
whole time, right?
You know, yeah, unfortunately, the players aren't very smart with, okay, let's not live paycheck to paycheck. There's a lot of guys that take their money.
And most careers are so short.
They don't realize how short your career is, number one. There's a very small amount of guys that play 10-plus years. And now with the new CBA, it's even less. There's going to be less guys playing longer than there ever has because you're going to have the top three or four guys on your team making the big money. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback, a tight end, a receiver, a running back, whatever those, a defensive player.
Yeah,
and then the rest of the guys are going to be playing on rookie deals. So you've lost your middle class. Kind of like the United States right now.
Yeah.
The problem is if you lose your middle class and you just have an upper and a lower, then it all goes eventually because then you've lost that core of what keeps that thing going.
Because don't you think, too, there's not enough guys that are willing to sacrifice for the next generation of players? So there's guys that are like, well, you know what? I know like the guys that are in college now, I'm sorry. I'm not going to fight for you. I need to fight for myself. And that's why we're just going to keep playing, and we're going to accept an 18-game schedule. We're going to accept a London team. We're going to accept all this other nonsense.
Well, I mean, and then when we had the lockout, they put aside money. So if we didn't get into the season, you would get, I think it was like $60,000 or something like that. And, I mean, the problem is you have guys that would come back and say, I'll play for half of what I was making.
Ugh.
I'll play for – I need the money, you know. Right. So, like, that you can't have that. If you're gonna
and the owners
have,
know that. The owners are sitting
they're like,
there.
All right,
they got
like,
so
we're good.
Money,
we, you know, like, our money's making money, and we're probably making $850 mil on our money this year. You know, it's like we'll be good to go. We'll still survive.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You know, so again, I just think that long term, you're going to see shorter contract, or you're going to see shorter careers, shorter careers, with all the science that's coming out with long term health effects of football. The longer your career, the more the issues that you have that could come back to people down the road. Mm-hmm. So keep the career shorter. It's better for the players. That's what some mentality – I guarantee that's the mentality now. It's better for them in the long run if they only play 5 years.
Non-stop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
I was curious about how close you came at all to challenging the Gordon play on the opposite sideline.
I think it probably would have been worth it if he was in bounds. Second foot had to be in. I don't know. It was a quick look. Didn't look like the officials made a good call on that play, but you know, I don't know. It was a quick look at it, so we didn't obviously go through the whole process. So,
Bill talking about the lack of a challenge. Somebody on Twitter asked me about that. Why didn't Bill challenge it? I said, well, first of all, when I looked at it, I thought his chances of winning the challenge were 50-50 at best, and then you lose your challenge. And then, sure enough, real early in the second half, he uses his challenge successfully, which he wouldn't have had had he wasted it on the Josh Gordon play.
Yeah, that one was close. There was one angle of it that it looked
like
his toe was
up. No, you knew it was 100% out.
Really?
You saw it,
I saw one angle where I thought his heel was up and didn't touch down.
No, if the white, any part of the white, it's easier to see on turf because you see the rubbers.
And then we're going to overturn it, probably.
If like your foot, so the Gronk catch in Buffalo where his foot literally was like on the line. Like, that's good. If you're anything outside of that, it's out. And you could see, like, when his foot touched, it, like, kicked up some of the black stuff on the white.
My bigger Belichick question was, end of the second quarter, they have a seven-point lead. That's the Aaron Rodgers fumble, but then it's out of bounds, so they have the ball. Patriots have all three of their timeouts. They don't use one. So Green Bay can get it down to 20 seconds, punt it away. Then the Patriots get the ball back with 15 seconds, but they could have gotten it with about 40-something seconds and two timeouts. I don't know why. It felt like they weren't aggressive at all there where they could have been.
Well, I mean, I think that when you're playing a guy like Rodgers, you have to evaluate the timing a little bit differently because you do stop the clock, but then that also gives him more time to operate. I would see, like, okay, stop the clock on the third down maybe.
You know?
So then you have a little bit more time. But that ball that fumbled out of bounds, I think that stops the clock, doesn't it?
No, I think the clock was still running for whatever reason.
Maybe I thought they were supposed to stop the clock, but I'm looking on TV it's running.
Because it was third and one at the 45, but then after that, maybe it kept running because he forwarded it forward and you can't do that, so then it goes back. So then it ended up being a fourth and three from their own 43. And I thought, I mean, not that it matters in the game now, but I thought then, why not burn a timeout? You had three of them. You didn't use a single timeout all half.
Why question the greatest quarterback?
Good point. You know what? Everything was perfect.
Yeah. The greatest coach.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, don't question them.
You're right.
Did you think the discussion all last week about who's the greater quarterback between the two guys who played last night, wasn't it stupid?
Yeah, but that's what people are.
Stupid.
People are stupid. I've noticed that for sure.
Jeez. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. When I listen to some interviews, I'm like, why would you ask that question?
Tom, when you
saw the trophy for the baseball team, did that get you motivated?
No, like, there was the one where it was just like, yeah, if you could trade your arm for Rodgers'
legs,
that's
ridiculous.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, cut my legs off.
I want to scoot a little bit more.
Yeah,
I want to be able to
run for an extra first down. Like, come on.
Or the guy being like, you and Rodgers, people call it a bromance. And he was like, they do? he was like just no-sold that completely.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, do they call that that? Why? Like, because we're good-looking?
He's like, what's your relationship like? We're friendly. We're fine.
Yeah, we're quarterbacks.
I did find it interesting, I guess, for lack of a better term, that as long as Tom has played, that's only the second time he's played against Rodgers.
Yeah, because Rodgers missed the one game.
In 2010, he was hurt. 14,
and this is supposed to be a Super Bowl matchup. Like, I don't know how many years in a row.
Not a Super Bowl matchup.
Hold on. Can I finish? Can I finish for a second?
We're three and one.
I'm saying, for how many times over the last 10 years, when everybody does, like Sports Illustrated or NFL Network or whoever, does their Super Bowl predictions at the beginning of the year, how many times, not this year, I know they're not even going to make the playoffs this year. I'm just saying, over the course of Aaron Rodgers' career, it was supposed to be Patriots-Packers.
We thought.
All the time. And the Patriots, they hold up their end of the bargain. They're in the Super Bowl every other year. Packers have only been once. So he's the one letting it down. But I feel like every year, we're like, who's the best team in the NFC? Because it's always a random team.
The
it's always
hype.
The Panthers,
I call it,
the Falcons.
You know what I call it? The hype train.
You call it the hype train?
It's the media hype train.
Did you coin that?
Yes. It's the media hype train. Oh, he's got to be the...
But he is very good.
He's very good, but you need a lot more than just a quarterback.
No, their coach, I think, is overmatched.
You need a good defense, which their defense was... Their defense is better this year than it was last year. Last year was terrible.
Last year was like the...
So, you know, the defense is middle of the pack, I think 18th or whatever this year. They lose. They trade away. Ha-ha. So it's like, why would you trade away one of your best defensive players?
Like, he played every snap defensively for him this season.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Don't we have to assume there was something going on?
No.
Why would you just trade away one of your best players?
Remember we said dumb people? I assume it's just
dumb
an idiot mistake.
Like, here's a shakeup. Yeah. So you faced Aaron Rodgers once in your career. Who was the best quarterback you ever went up against?
Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Manning.
So Peyton Manning definitely better than Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. Right. So good.
See, I was making the
point last week. Hardest part with Manning was he's checking a play, but he's checking it on what he sees on your defense.
So he sees you, and
you. So you're like, okay, don't show anything. Don't show.
You're in your head.
On the same level. Don't show anything. Don't show a blitz. Don't show the coverage. Like, everyone stay in the same spot, and then as he gets into his cadence, then you move, and then he'd go into his cadence, and someone would move just an inch. He'd say, check, Ranger, Ranger, check here. Look him. 50's a mic. 50's here. Get away from. And you're like, dang it.
So did everything.
50's like, down. I'm like, yeah, I am.
Would you try to? Was or is he beyond the point where you could even mess with him? Like, would guys do that? Like, would guys just
you
like
would
run
try.
Around?
You would
but
try.
He's like, that
you
didn't matter. Yeah.
Just, I mean.
That must be what defenses feel like playing against Brady, though.
He's
the exact
smartest,
same thing, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's standing there at the line of scrimmage, and he's kill, kill, and that's, come on.
Well, that's easy. You know, it's just he's going to a run play. Or opposite.
Yeah, they both did that in the game, like back-to-back
lots of
series.
Kills.
Back-to-back
well,
series.
They
both
did the
throat slash
thing.
They should have blurred that.
They should find him for
they
that.
They got to blur that out to NBC. That is, I don't like that message.
Usually, I mean, it's all based on numbers. So if you have an extra guy one side and the ball was supposed to go there, then they're like, kill, kill. Then they switch it, you know. Sometimes they give you a East-West Coast State. So if it's like New York, New York, you know, you're like, okay, it's going this way.
For some of the guys on the team, that might not work.
You're right.
They're like, I don't know.
What's that? Geography? What, yeah. Is there a test?
How about Louis or Roger? Let's just stick with that here.
When I think, because we were talking about this last week, there was all this Rodgers Brady stuff, and I said the same thing. Rodgers isn't better than Manning. I mean, for me, Brady is up here still compared to all these other guys. And then Manning is second, and then Rodgers is third if you want.
Yeah. I mean, Manning is – when people get out of football for a couple of years, they kind of forget how good
worse.
You are. I mean,
but he had
know
a lot of,
good he was?
He choked in the playoffs so many times that it's hard to forget those times. Like, so many one and done.
He's got two Super Bowl rings with two different teams, which is pretty cool.
Okay, but one of them, he got carried there. The defense was
so good
that year.
They were.
So good.
They were. I mean, his arm was gone at that point. But that's the most impressive part, too. The guy didn't have an arm, and he still was able to manage the game.
That's not. Like, that's like so Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. That didn't
you have to
me.
No, it's the mental ability to manage a football game, to put the team in the right positions, to run a screen when they're blitzing, to run the ball away from the pressure, to find the holes in the defense.
But they had so many years where the Colts would go 13-3, get into the playoffs, and then they'd lose in the first round.
Yeah,
or their first game, divisional round.
Because the Patriots were like, all right, jam these guys on the line of scrimmage and don't
early
let
them
on, go.
Oh yeah, they smoked them. But then even, you know, Baltimore,
then they changed
Pittsburgh,
the rules because of the Patriots. You know, they're like, all right, 5 yards, can't do that anymore.
Then it did make it a little bit easier for them.
Were there quarterbacks who you were lined up getting ready to play defense, and you knew you had them? Like, you knew exactly what he was going to do. You knew where he was going to go. You knew what play was coming. You knew everything.
I played
most of
Sanchez.
Them, probably.
Come
I was
on.
Say, like, most of them. There's probably
Mark
more
Sanchez.
Like that
you knew everything.
Yeah. Like, but that guy's not going to fool you. Like, he's going to look down what he wants to look at and throw it there, you know?
He did win a playoff game here, though.
Yeah, he did. But that our defense was not very good that year. 2009.
Yeah, that was.
I blew my knee out, too. I got hurt in that game. If I didn't get hurt, we would have won.
No, that's true. I do remember thinking that after that game.
How many times have we talked?
Hitting the quarterback, Dane Fletcher blew out my LCL.
How many times have we talked to Rob and he says, yeah, I blew out my knee in that game. Oh, I blew out my shoulder in that game.
Yeah.
It's a contact sport. Yeah. There's a few injuries
there. But I started the game. I just didn't finish it. I wonder how many games I didn't finish. Not too many. Maybe a four.
We can get our crack staff to look that up.
How many injuries I've had. I had the knee, two knees.
Still less
back
than Gronk.
Or hip.
Got to be less than Gronk.
I dislocated my hip in Miami game.
How many diagnosed concussions did you get in the NFL?
One.
You got off easy.
Seattle. The big fullback got me, the ex-quarterback.
Michael Robinson?
Yeah.
From Penn State?
Blindsided me.
How about that?
And I lined up on the wrong side of the field as a linebacker, and I was supposed to be the left end.
Oops.
They're like, Rob, why don't you,
Russell Wilson,
Rob,
just,
you why don't you come off the field?
Russell
here,
Wilson
sir,
just ran
done.
The ball like for 15 yards, right where I was supposed to be. And I remember looking – I remember looking to the sideline and be like, yeah, I'm right here. I'm in the
where
backer.
I need to be.
Like, I'm a Sam.
Everything's in reverse.
And Matty P's like, no. You're like, you're supposed to be the end. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, you mentioned Matty P.
I got the scrambled eggs.
let me ask you about – so did you see his press conference this week?
I liked it.
Where he was yelling at that guy? You like that?
He looks like an unmade bed. He's going to tell somebody. He's going to criticize somebody about how he looks.
I want to win a few
for all
games
the listeners
first.
Out there, okay, I put my legs up on the desk, okay? I'm sitting back, really relaxed, like, hey, can
we
you
call that a Fred Smirless.
Yeah. I'm sitting back, like, hey, can you tell me like, why would you trade away your best player? Just, you know,
it's a good question.
Well, tell me why.
So then he said,
could you please, could you just sit up and, like, ask me that in a professional manner, which I think is amazing. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna ask questions like that,
dead last in your division and start telling guys to sit up.
It's his first year coaching. No,
he might be his last if he doesn't get things turned around.
He's not going to be his last.
No, next year will be his last. Then he'll be the D coordinator here in 2020. He's got the Josh McDaniels blueprint.
I'll be his linebacker coach.
Yeah, you can join him. He needs the help out in Detroit. You should go now. Has he called you yet?
No, I don't want to do that. I'll never see my kids.
Yeah, the coaching schedule is brutal.
It is just awful. I mean,
I couldn't do it.
18 hours a day. And
Ninko, how about a pass rush camp? Ninko's pass rush camp?
There you go. A couple weeks in the summer. You do that?
Yep.
That'll be good.
We'll do it. Who would hit me up on Twitter if you'd go.
Last night on NBC, they were talking about Cleveland maybe being interested in Josh McDaniels to be the new head coach, and
he's not going anywhere.
Collinsworth was saying, somebody will jump and hire this guy, and Al Michaels goes, really?
Like Collinsworth said it so matter of fact too. Like he was spinning it so positive, and Al's I think was trying to remind him what happened this offseason, and Collinsworth wasn't having
it. Wouldn't it be hard for an owner to look Josh McDaniels in the eyes and say, okay, you want to coach this team? Yes, I do.
He's like, okay, good.
It's definitely a tough position, but I think that Josh understands the reasoning behind what he was doing, and he made the decision and then realized, maybe this isn't the right thing for me and my family. And
I just feel like 1 year is – because, again, teams do have short memories as it relates to a lot of different things.
And if the Patriots happen to win another one, I wouldn't be surprised if Tom was like, I did it. I'm the best. I've got the most.
All of a sudden, everybody's gone.
I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm going to my beach and island somewhere. Mm-hmm.
See, the fact that Josh had second thoughts, thought, you know what, I made a mistake here. I understand all that. That's great. How about the guys who we hired, who uprooted their families?
Tough. Yeah. Well, at least they got a guaranteed contract. Some of them guys weren't getting paid. So, I'm unemployed. I'll sign this 2-year million-dollar deal. Oh, it's all guaranteed? Oh, all right, it's not too bad.
I just picture if Cleveland went to hire him and Josh starts making calls.
Yeah, I would.
Hey,
not.
Ninko, you want to come be my linebackers coach? And you'd be thinking,
you sure? Have you bought a house yet? Are you over there?
I'm going to wait. Sure? I want to wait till the first day of training camp.
Yeah,
I'll see you there.
Exactly.
I mean, it would be I think it'd be a concern for anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's definitely something that you'd have to look into. But he is a good offense coordinator. He's a very brilliant mind. That's why I think Bill and Mr. Kraft are like, all right, we can't lose this guy. Like, what do we got to do to keep him here? All right, open up the checkbook. You get him. I mean, because the guy's highest paid.
He's the highest paid coordinator. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and well-deserving because he's, like you saw it last night, he comes up with a lot of great stuff.
Now my partner
and I like playing against him in practice. Like I used to love talking. Like me and him would go back and forth, and he'd like to.
You would go back and forth with someone. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, me and McDaniels. Sure, oh yeah, he'd get after me too, and we'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Nink, shut up. But if we're gonna get to that point, or
I say, what are you running that for? It's not gonna work.
Now my partner over here doesn't want him to be the Bill Belichick replacement. When Bill finally heads on down the road, he doesn't want him.
No. I wouldn't want anyone. It's going to be hard no matter who you are if you come into this
place. That guy's screwed. You're right.
It doesn't matter who it is. How are you going to come in and be better than Bill? Are you going to come in and continue what Bill's
created? The only way I think you would have a chance is if say, Belichick left after this year, which I don't think that he will.
I don't think he will either.
But if he did and Brady was still here and you know that their connection is so good, then that would be fine.
Yeah, but then he's 42, 43. I mean, it's like, ugh.
But he would still. So then you give him at least some success as a head coach. I just think what he did in Denver, you shouldn't hold that's not – doesn't mean you're completely done, but that's part of his story. He went to Denver. They hate him in Denver.
Oh,
hate
do they ever.
With a passion. So I don't even think we know all the stories there. So
they feel about him the way Cleveland feels about Belichick.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then he went to St. Louis. They were the worst offense in the league. He was the coordinator of St. Louis, worst offense in the league. So it's kind of tough for me to grade him with Brady because every coordinator that Brady's had, they've looked great because they have Brady. So if he has to start over somewhere, plus – doesn't seem to be like a man of his word, so I would not want him to be my head coach at all.
I like him.
Well, there you go, because he likes to tease him.
Close.
Why are you running that? That's not going to work.
He teases me. He goes back. We go back and forth. All right, continue.
Hit us up on Twitter, at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, let's get a couple of calls in before Rob has to get out of here and off to his very busy lifestyle, whatever it is that he does.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond.
Ooh,
maybe
nice.
Target. Okay. I don't know if I'll have enough time.
Depends.
I don't know if I'll have time in the
Yankee
day.
Yankee Candle, if that gets an opportunity later.
The pumpkin spice.
Nothing better than some holiday candles for you.
I love it.
All right, Lenny's in North Providence. Hey, Lenny, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Lenny, what's up, man?
I just seemed like I was kind of watching the game last night. It just became really boring for me, not on the Patriots side of the ball, but just, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, the horrible coaching, and kind of dawned on me. I just think there'd probably be more hype and it'd probably be a more interesting game if it was Breeze and Brady and the Saints, playing Brady, better coach, better quarterback. Coach and quarterback combo has been with each other for a long time. They run that offense really good. I just think that would have been a way better matchup. I think Breeze is a better quarterback than Rodgers.
I think Rodgers is better, but I think maybe the coach, Peyton.
I like Breeze better.
Really?
Yeah.
You won't see that matchup till the Super Bowl, but it would be a good matchup.
That'd be a great Super Bowl too, because you have two 40-year-old quarterbacks too that are just have like every record between the two of them. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
I think Rodgers is better. I think
against
the Saints
them,
are better.
Who do you like better, Breeze or Rodgers?
Yeah, I gotta go with the Boilermaker.
Of course. Yeah.
There you go.
Course.
Come on,
Drew
just Brees.
He was agreeing with.
He
me.
Also thinks Glenn Robinson's the greatest basketball player ever.
He's pretty good. Okay.
The big dog.
No, I mean, Drew's really playing at a high level right now. I think the Saints' defense is playing a lot better. But them at home, they're a different team away. So, you play them.
As I say, it's almost the game like outdoors
City.
For Drew Brees?
It's almost like Kansas City. Your defense plays so much better at home because you can jump the snap. So when the offensive linemen, they have to hold each other's hand and let go like when they snap the ball, that's a really good jump for your D-line. So you see D Ford has a lot better games at home than he does away because he can get on the snap count. He can rush the passer better. You saw Holly, Holly had a great career because he was always playing in Kansas City where it was a lot of noise, jump the snap, get after the quarterback. So same with New Orleans. They have a great home field advantage. And it's that, I played there a couple times. It's like a jet airplane taking off in there. It's insanely loud.
You got to play there as a Saint.
I did. I blew my knee out.
Yeah. See, we're back to it.
Yeah. Of course.
I blew my knee out. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. ACL, MCL, it was all gone. Yeah.
You also told me that Kansas City's the loudest place you've ever
played. It is loud, yeah. And it's cold.
Well, in January,
Kansas City, here's my list. Kansas City is number one. Number two is New Orleans, the Dome. Number three is Seattle. Those are really loud.
Those are the hard places.
Those are the hard places, yeah.
Mike's in North Providence. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hi, guys. Yeah, this is the guard to Josh McDaniels. I think this is all about just the ultimate job security. And first off, he just stays as offensive coordinator in a spot he's already comfortable with until Bill leaves. And then when Bill leaves, it's like guaranteed from Kraft, you're getting plenty of time here to keep this team on track, to get it back to where it needs to be if they're kind of like on a weaker state. And you know what? He's not just in this scenario, another coach that Bill has had. He is now his heir. He's his replacement. And I think it's a fundamentally different thing between telling a person what to do and what you think. I think Bill can just tell the guy the whole thing and prepare him as much as he can. And from McDaniel's point of view, that's what he was looking for. He knows I'm going to be here for a long time. And that's how he thought about it.
I mean,
now you're getting reports that he's interested in the head coaching job after
Cleveland.
This year.
I mean,
what's that about?
I don't know. I don't know how any.
You can't say that, though, because there's all those rules now with you have to interview people. You have to have another guy come in.
You can't even.
You couldn't
put it in writing. You
can't
say
do
it.
You can't say it. So they cannot say that. I would say that Josh probably is very comfortable here. He's got a family there, and his children are here. I understand that aspect of it. And look, if you go to another place and you're the head coach, your stress levels are multiplied by 100. So, Matty P right now is a little bit stressed out. He's not sleeping a lot. I mean, I'm sure he's missing his family. They're not winning. He's the head guy. I mean, there's a lot more stress involved than, I'll stay with Tom Brady and a potent offense. We have a lot of weapons. Bill Belichick's the head coach. I don't get to move out of my house, and I'm the highest paid offensive coordinator. So it makes sense to me why he stayed.
Bruce is in Las Vegas. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, he's coming. 1 second.
Really?
Okay, guys, oh, my.
Come on, Bruce.
Guys, sorry about that.
That's
my
a
wife,
first.
Mary, who met you, Rob, by the way, on the way to the game last night. We said hi to you when you were behind the stadium there. And you
oh, nice.
Said hello.
Hello.
Well,
Rob's friends calling?
So, no. But just a quick question, Rob, because we respect your play so much and miss you so much on the past. We were just wondering, so I'm from Vegas.
Yeah.
And I actually bet Malcolm Butler for that Eagles Super Bowl, obviously as a long shot to be Super Bowl MVP, the logic being that if it's obviously going to go to Brady if you guys win. But if it was defensive, I just thought he's the kind of just cocky, exciting player that might have made a big play, and you never know if a defender got it. And I also bet him to get the first interception. And then, of course, when they didn't play him at all or just for 5 seconds in some special teams thing, I was just in total shock. And I know it's been discussed and analyzed by everyone, but I don't trust anybody I listen to. We know you're a genius at this and an insider. Could you just give us your perspective, as much as you'd be allowed to talk about it, what you think could have happened in a situation like that, or even why in general a situation like that would happen? Because we're still in shock about the Philly Super Bowl and Malcolm Butler. And even though I know it's a different era, just we'd really appreciate your insight, sir.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of
really? I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been waiting for this one. I think there's so many different variables that go into the reasoning behind why Malcolm didn't play.
Just list them alphabetically, if you don't mind.
Was that a Rick Ross concert?
I retired.
Obviously, last year I wasn't playing, so that doesn't help my status with answering some of these questions. But I would say that, you know, Malcolm was a great man-to-man guy. And, you know, I loved him as a teammate. He won me a Super Bowl championship. I will forever be indebted to a guy that has done something like that for myself. But I would say that sometimes, you know, when a very advanced game plan was put together, or we had a lot of different calls that had to be on the fly to where there's multiple things going on in a play, you know, there would be a little bit of issue sometimes. And maybe I'm thinking that throughout that year, I think we saw a couple times during the season, you know, Malcolm kind of talking back a little bit, yelling at somebody, saying things to somebody. And, you know, I think maybe him and Bill started to become, you know, not best of friends. And in that last game, they evaluated things and probably said, okay, our best chance is going to be moving forward with this. And something happened during the week. I don't know what happened. You know, maybe an injury, maybe an illness, maybe that they felt that what they were originally planning was the best thing moving forward, and that's why it didn't happen.
He has had a terrible year in Tennessee this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because he just got paid a lot of money. So
no, that's the fortunate part.
It's unfortunate for him because you know how much pressure gets put on you.
I wonder who he'll cover.
It's fortunate that he's able to, you know, make a lot of money, but it's unfortunate the second you get paid that, the expectations are, I mean, look at last year, Gilmore. Everybody was all over Gilmore because he got paid the big contract. And they were all over him. And guess what? He's the number one corner now, and he's earning every dollar he's making. So it's a change of scenery. It's a new coach. It's a new defense. Maybe it takes a little bit of time for him to adjust. But anyway.
If he tries to cover Gordon, Gordon's going to kill him. Gordon's going to absolutely eat him up.
I don't know what they'll do. They'll probably be physical at the line of scrimmage.
He's not going to be matched up man-to-man with him, I wouldn't think. He's too small.
Anything's better than a guy not even jumping for the ball, like last night. The guy just turned around and fell down.
What a mess that was.
Jeez.
Didn't quite work the way they had written it up. Mike's in Rhode Island. Hey, Mike.
Hi. The Pats had a great game last night.
Sure did.
EB12 had a great game.
Uh-huh.
Josh Gordon had a huge
great game
last night.
Who's the man?
The defense is getting better every week.
Okay.
We're gonna win the Super Bowl this year.
Bold.
They got to get through Kansas City.
Was that it?
They need to be as explosive as Kansas City because that's the game that they're gonna have to win.
Is there another team? I think you mentioned Pittsburgh before. But
Pittsburgh and I wouldn't want to see the Ravens.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to see the Ravens. And then everyone's talking about Harbaugh's in the hot seat. I think that they're always just play. They always just play hard.
They got the best defense in the conference, probably.
Yeah, they do. And you don't want to. After you play the Ravens, you're like, ow, I need Advil.
Yeah.
Because I'm
sore. Is that
what
you say? Do you say, ow?
Ow. Ow. I wake up, I look at the ceiling, and I go, can someone just shovel me up? And
shovel you up?
Scoop me up out of bed and just place me upright, because it's a terrible feeling playing them.
Not good.
Big, yeah, tough football player goes, ow.
I think it hurts. Ow. I guess it's a contact sport.
Ow. I want to just run outside on that turf and jump straight up and just land right on your back.
You're not really supposed to do that.
See, I'm supposed to say,
as human,
ow.
As humans.
You're not supposed to say, ow.
Well, really you do when you're 34. I was 32, and I didn't play at 33.
Good to see you again.
We'll see you next Monday down here.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
It'll be fun.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.